Good evening. It's great to see you. It's great to be with you, and trust the Lord will have something for each one. I thoroughly enjoyed this morning, and for many reasons that you probably wouldn't even know, but that's all right. It's a personal thing, and I trust there'll be something for you this evening. We're going to read this evening from Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, starting at verse 22. Luke 8 and 22. If you were here this morning, you'll remember that at the breaking of bread, this first section that we're going to be looking at has already been presented. And that was a great encouragement for me. And we trust the Lord will have something for you. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice in our Lord Jesus. We rejoice in the fellowship that we have together. We rejoice in the liberty that we have in this country to open your word and read it and talk about it and all the rest. And as we do that just now, we pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts according to what you have for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this morning we looked at Psalm 16, and I thought it was a bit of a preparation for this because we had there the Lord in all his glory. David was writing of his spiritual experience, and yet the fullness of it was the Lord, not David. And this evening, as we are going to look at as much as we can get through here, is going to be at our responses to that. And we remember that the life that we have, if you're here as a born-again Christian, the life that we have is his life. And I trust we'll see something of that. And if you're here this morning, I hope there's a connection. If not, that's fine. Luke chapter 8 and verse 22, we read, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he there is Jesus, went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let's go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth." And we have this bit of an introduction, and it starts with the Lord saying something to them. Let's get into the ship and go over the other side. And they responded by getting into the boat. Verse 23 says, "But as they sailed, he," that's Jesus, "fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy." And it's quite a picture here. They have been very active in the Lord's work, and the Lord Jesus doing most of the work, and he's tired. Going to go back to the other side of the lake. Why? Because the Lord said, we're going to go there. They're responding in obedience to the leading of the Lord, and they get into this boat, and the Lord Jesus falls asleep. Must have been a comfortable thing for him to be able to fall asleep even. And it was the disciples' turn, those that were fishermen and capable boat handlers, to take responsibility of the trip. But as they get out there, this great wind comes up, and it seems to be a some kind of a storm, and it seems to be threatening their very existence in the boat. They were in jeopardy. Notice the contrast. Jesus was asleep, but they were in jeopardy. I like that. The Lord Jesus, as our Savior, he would never go to sleep when there's something that we need, when there's something that is imminently terrible for us and threatening to us. He doesn't sleep. So obviously he's not too concerned about this trip over the water. Verse 24, and they came to him, that's the disciples came to him and woke him up and saying, Master, we perish. I don't know if the we there coming out of their mouths included the Lord or whether it was just speaking of their own selves, but we perish. And then he arose, he got up, and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. In this desperate situation, what else could they do but look to the Lord? And when they cried out to him, they didn't make a long fancy prayer. This was an urgent situation, and they said it like it is, and that was all they needed to do. So there's nothing fancy about this praying. And so they did to the Lord Jesus what the storm could not do. The storm couldn't wake him. He wasn't threatened. I'm sure he knows the end from the beginning, but his disciples could wake him. He loves them, cares for them. Not going to ignore them. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? If you're a born-again believer, we can go into the presence of God at any time and any moment and any situation that we have, and he cares. And if he's been sleeping, he'll wake up. That's what he did here. And not only woke up, but he got up. The disciples were perishing, it says. But he got up and rebuked the wind, the raging water, and they ceased, and there were calm. The power of the Word of God, amazing, spoke a word, and it was calm again. Their prayer was shortened to the point. His was very short and to the point, too. It wasn't a prayer, it was a command, and it all happened. And so he got rid of the wind and the waves, and we see in this little story the power of the Lord over nature. How often is it when you feel the Lord would have you do something and you start to do it and then all manner of natural things start coming up to interfere with that. Well, the Lord is greater than all the forces of nature. And it simply doesn't matter if we step out in faith to do his will. It doesn't matter what the natural forces can do to oppose it. He speaks a word and it's done. And he rebuked the wind raging water. They ceased and there was calm. He didn't get up and say, "Why? What are you waking me up for? What are you wasting my time?" He didn't get up and give them a lecture on theology. He didn't get up and give them a lecture on how they should have acted or reacted. No, he got up and calmed the thing that was the problem for them. I like that. Whatever the Lord asks us to do, we can step out in faith and do it, no matter what the opposing circumstances are. And then verse 25, and he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" This time he's speaking to the disciples. He spoke to the weather and it stopped raging. Now he speaks to the disciples. "Where is your faith?" I like the idea that he didn't ask them that when they first woke him. No, he took care of the problem. But now he's going to ask them to think about this for a moment. Did you really need to do that? Why did you do that? And so it says, and they, being afraid, wondered. That's something, isn't it? Before, they were afraid of nature and what the forces of nature could do. Now, it's a different kind of fear. The fear of the Lord. The fear of God, their Savior. It's not a fear that, oh, we shouldn't have done that. We shouldn't have awakened him. We shouldn't have failed to trust him. Now he's going to rebuke us or something. That's not the case at all. But he is pointing out to them the nature of the fear of the Lord, that is the fear of worship, the fear of respect, the fear of confidence in all that he's doing. You ever pray for something and, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And he answers it in one way or another, however, and you set out to do that, and then natural things come up to oppose it. What do we do? Do we trust him? Or do we act as these disciples did? Well, it's probably a bit of both. Sometimes we may say, "No, I'm going to stand firm in what the Lord called me to do, and I'm going to do it." But other times, I'm sure that we do kind of give in this way. And the Lord takes care of it either way, both ways. He loves us. He has something to teach us when we get confused and when we don't think we can carry his will into a successful action. He loves us, and so he responds to our call for help. But on these other times when we realize he has power over nature, even that we can be confident in him and live worshipfully, the fear of worship, as it were. I don't know how to explain that, but you can take care of that yourself. Verse 26, we aren't going to be able to do all three sections. There are three sections here. The first one is his power over nature. The second one that we're going to take a quick scan on is his power over spiritual forces of evil, demons. And the last one, which we definitely will not get to, is his power over death. And it's worth reading each of these three sections because they deal with how we respond to him in these different situations and how he responds to us. So, very quickly, when they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee, they went forth to land, and there met him out of the city a certain man that had devils a long time. He was demon-possessed, and he had no clothes. He was naked, and neither did he live in any house, but amongst the tombs. This man was in a bad way. And we might have all kinds of different words to try and describe it, but this is nothing less than a demon-possessed man. Verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God Most High? I beseech you, do not torment me." Now, who's speaking? Well, it's the man's voice, but the man is so dominated by these evil spirits that they're the ones that are speaking through it. They don't care about the man. They just care about getting their way, and now here comes the Lord Jesus. They can't stand up to him. "Oh, well, be kind to us. Don't torment us," or anything like that. And it says, verse 29, "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, 'What's your name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many devils were entered into him." A legion of things or people is a very large number of them. And so they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. It's amazing, isn't it? Right from the first act of creation, when God created man, and that old serpent, the devil, tempted him, and you know the story, and the man rejected God and believed the devil, and God had said, "In the day that you eat of that tree, do the opposite to what I've told you, you're going to die." Adam died immediately. Now, the record is he lived for more than 900 years physically, bodily, but he died in spirit immediately, and then he reproduced himself, and here we are by natural birth. We're all descendants of that man. By natural birth, we are born dead in trespasses and sins, and so we spend our time on this earth dying. Have you ever thought that? We talk about living, but the fact of the matter is, what we say is, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." That's dying. Already dead in spirit, just have to have the body and soul catch up with it. And these demonic beings that we're reading of are now pleading for their existence, as if God's grace was something that they could continue to be evil spirits and still benefit from. That doesn't quite work, does it? And so, where are we? He cried out, fell down before him. Oh, yes. Verse 29, "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it caught him. He was kept bound with chains and fetters. He broke the bands. He was driven of the devil in the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What's your name?" He said, "Legion." I think we did read that. And so in verse 31, they asked him if that he would not command them to go out into the deep. So verse 32, there was a herd of pigs, swines, unclean animals, as far as God's people in that day were concerned. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into the swine. And he said, okay. And look what happened. They then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. Whose will was done there? It wasn't the will of the evil spirits. They thought by going in the swine they could still continue some kind of earthly function, but down they went into the place of death and in the water. Then they that fed them saw what was done. They fled and went in the city and told it, and they went out to see what was done, the people from the city. They came to Jesus, found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. The Lord Jesus is powerful, not only over the elements of earth, but over the evil spirits and all the evil things that would tempt us and tear us apart and seek to cause things to happen so that we'd forget about the Lord, or at least ignore him and go some other way. And here he is, he's sitting in his right mind, he was clothed, and everybody was afraid of him. Isn't that something? I think I told you this morning, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I was married when I got saved. And you know what? Some people that I thought were my friends, they were afraid to associate with a believer in Christ. Isn't that something? Really strange. Verse 36, they also which saw it told them by what means the devils, the man possessed was healed. And so the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart. We don't want you here, Jesus. We can handle devils. We can be handled by devils. But we don't want Jesus. And where are we? And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. Here's this man, he's just saved from demon possession. Wonderful. And the Lord is leaving. The community has rejected the Lord, and the Lord has sent them back. Obviously, this man wants to be with the Lord. Why would he want anything different? But it says, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and show how great things God has done unto you." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done to him. He says, no, I want you to stay in this community and be a witness for me. And that's what he did. We don't have anything to fear from natural forces that oppose our Christian lives. We don't have anything to fear even from demonic creatures and demonized persons. But the Lord also doesn't say, I'm going to take you out of their presence. I want you to stay there and be a witness for me. What a witness, you know? The world can say what it wants. And I think you might agree with me that Canada's sort of going downhill fast in some of these spiritual areas. And we probably didn't fit in too well before, but even less now. What do? We hide in a little community by ourselves? No, he says, you stay in the world, be a witness for me. He's more powerful than the devil himself and all of his demonic forces. The last story, we won't take the time for, he is powerful even over death. And how many martyrs have there been through the centuries? And they didn't bat an eye at it. They went to their death praising the name of the Lord Jesus. What a great God and Savior we have. It's his life that we have received. Do you remember when you received him? As many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called children of God, born of God, born again, born from above, by God's grace. What's our part? Believe him. Trust him. Walk with him. And we have nothing to fear from anything that the whole creation has to oppose him. May God bless you with these thoughts. Father, we bow in your presence. We acknowledge it's easier sometimes to preach a message than it is to live in a demanding situation, and yet we, each one of us, have different demands upon us, and we rejoice that we can look to you in all of these times, and we can, no matter how much of a failure we may look to be in the eyes of this world, we can glorify you, and that you never are overcome by any other forces. We thank you for that. We also want to pray for anyone here with us tonight that perhaps is a Christian by religion, but has never come to know that personal relationship with you. May it be that you, by your Spirit, would speak to them and draw them to yourself and embrace them with all the fullness of your love and grace to them. We just lift up our voices with praise and thanksgiving, and that in your own name, amen. I still don't know any other tunes to sing, and I have to leave right away. I'm sorry, I apologize for this. My wife has a very early appointment in the morning, and I've got to get home and get some things done so that we can make that appointment. So please forgive me for running out on you, but we can still sing, He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead.